Hello and welcome to the Disruptive Chef Entrepreneur Show. I'm super excited to have my co-host, Chef Lawrence, with me today. And it's 4 of 4. Can you believe we did 4 of them? And our goal with this was that we wanted to give you 4 examples of our ebook we published, which is From Chef to Entrepreneur. If you haven't gotten yours yet, go to christianjfisher.com. and scroll down and get you a free copy of our book called From Chef to Entrepreneur. So this is episode 4. What are we going to talking about on episode 4, Chef Lawrence?
Well, I think we left the last podcast off at kind of putting this all together, you know, how, you know, we've talked about getting your mindset, kind of setting your goals, overcoming your fears. You know, we kind of shared some stories of things that we went to. Now, someone that's been listening to this may be saying, all right, I've been there. I'm ready to move forward. What do I do? And that's always the biggest question and it's always the hardest answer to provide, which is, what is that first step? So I think in this episode, we can kind of define what that first step would be and how to tackle it.
And I learned that step one is marry rich. Isn't that? Oh, that's not what we're talking about today. I think that's a really good one. And I reflected a little bit looking over our notes from the last calls. Making that pivot from chef to entrepreneur is not an easy one. And the reason we doing this is twofold. Number one, we want to bring as many chefs to the entrepreneur side as possible. And the second reason for us is we want to help chef cut that learning curve in half, do it. And the reason I chose Chef Lawrence as my co-host here, because he did it not once, he did it twice. And there's nobody better at that than he is. So today we're bringing it full circle. And how we want to tackle this, how you want to start this, Chef Lawrence?
Well, let's just assume whoever's listening right now has a business idea, side hustle that they want to tackle. It's like, and what we'll discuss today is, you know, what do you do with that idea? What is the first step to kind of getting that momentum going? Because really, as you know, Chef, it's all about getting momentum going. It's not about tackling the entire business on day one. That's not going to happen. It's small steps that you have to take. And you got to do it smartly so that there's constant momentum being built so that when you look back 6 months from when you started your business, you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm a lot further ahead than I thought I would be. So we can tackle that today, that subject matter.
I love that because I believe it starts the way it started for me. And I will never forget the day where I looked myself in the mirror and said, hey, I wish I would be further ahead by now. And for me, I think starting in that way, I think it's a great way to get this kicked off for our episode number 4. Because what a lot of our listeners need to understand, this only starts if you make the decision to start. This only works if you know you're committed to make it work. And what I admire about the way you went about this, for you, there was no other options. And we talked about this the last time you burning the boats, there was no plan B and doing this. Where I want to make sure we really careful with that. There's a very fine line between a hobby and doing something as a business, as an entrepreneur. What we're talking about here today is not a hobby. So you can have a hobby on the side because this is not what we want to talk about here.
Exactly. Yeah, because I mean, you know, going on that subject, it's not a hobby. You know, a hobby is when you start something, but you're not putting any processes in place to make eventually this business become something that makes you money and you're not working on it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And then a job, you know, setting up a business correctly is where eventually down the road, that business is operating on its own to where you're just kind of overseeing it and it's making money for you. And anyone that's heard this, I'm sure that they've heard that story many times through other business advisors and all the different marketing books you can read. They all talk about the same thing, but it was definitely an experience where it took me a while to really understand that. I didn't understand it when I first read it until I was already halfway through my business. And I'm like, wait a minute. Now I have a better idea of what they're referring to. So, and we can, you may have had that experience as well where.
Yeah. And so a few, I think it's now a year or two ago, Chef Lawrence, where we did the six steps it takes to make that pivot from chef entrepreneur. So I think we should tackle that today. Mm-hmm. And because we talked about actually, it doesn't matter. And let's bring it all full circle, the three conversations we had already. The number one step is you need to get really clear of what you want to do. And at the time, we called it a profitable idea. And it doesn't have to be necessarily in food. And you are a good example of that because there's so many transferable skills chefs have, and it doesn't have to do in food. And mm-hmm. I'm actually looking at my notes from that meeting we had, and somebody was doing freelance writing. Okay, today you can do it with AI, but a year ago, we had somebody doing freelance writing. Somebody did pet services, home services, business coaching, personal chef coaching. Mm-hmm. We had event planners. We had management companies, graphic design, and just so many other cool things. And so for us, our step one was to find a profitable idea. How did you find your profitable idea?
Well, I think, first of all, let's just find what profitable is. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone's going to have a different definition of what profitable is. Like for me, profitability means that I create a business that not only provides the lifestyle that my family and I want, but yep. it can also pay my employees well, and I'm able to put some money aside and I don't need, and then you got to, once you kind of lay that out, it's like, how big of a business do you want to grow your business to support that? You may realize, oh my gosh, man, I need to build a multi-million dollar business. And you got to sit back and say, do I have it in me to run a multi-million dollar business? Do I want all the other responsibilities that come with that? And it's okay if you said no. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I said, you know what? No, I'm not that person that wants to run a multi-million dollar business like that. I'm happy if my revenue was at X, and it was and I was happy with that, and it went well. And so define what profitability means to you, and what, because as you grow money, there's a lot of responsibilities that come along with that as well. And you have to be honest with yourself. It's like, do I want to be responsible for it? And then the second thing is, Go ahead.
I absolutely love that because I always love hearing your side of the story, because for me, I started much smaller. For me, I wanted to make an extra $1,000 a month. And for me, it was, hey, I want to start out with $1,000 a month, which gives me 12 grand a year, mm-hmm. which pays for my vacation. And that was me, my driver. I wanted to have a free, best vacation. Didn't do great job with savings. So I thought, oh, if I do this on the side, this becomes my vehicle for a free vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I'm sure from there, you're like, okay, I made that $1,000 a month. That was pretty easy. That was fun. What if I doubled it? Mm-hmm. Right. And then you went for it. It's kind of like the analogy is like, I don't know if you ever rode a horse, Chef. It's like, first of all, you get on a horse and you kind of just trot along, right? And you just walk. Mm-hmm. You got to get the feeling of the horse just walking. And then from there, you can go into a trot, and then you can get into a gallop. And it's kind of like the same thing growing a business. It's like you got to start just walking the horse, get the feeling of being in the saddle. And all of a sudden you're like, well, okay, I'm pretty comfortable. Now I'm going to go ahead and go into a trot. And then you go into a trot and you get used to how the horse reacts and the feel in the saddle. And then you kind of get into a gallop. It's the same thing with a business. It's like start small. And like I said, in one of the podcasts is that when you start, make sure that you're moving your business in the black. You know, don't start your business to where it's in the red. It's like, figure out all the different levers that you can pull to make sure that you're cash flow positive. It could be at the end of the month, after you pay everything, if you had $10 left over and you're in the black, there you go, grow from there. And then you just incrementally keep growing to where you feel profitability is where you want to be. And it gives you the lifestyle that you want. I mean, that's kind of like step one in wrapping this all up.
No, absolutely spot on. Nothing to add. He knocked it out of the park. Point one. Point two is, now we need to find what we call our perfect client. So the person which will pay for that service. And there was something we always talk about in our mastermind groups. And by the way, if you ever are interested in being part of a mastermind, just join the Disruptive Chef Club community, and we offer 2 months free membership to our mastermind group. But what we talk about there all the time is find things you love to do and find things that you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. That will help you define who your perfect client is. How did that work for you?
Yeah, so, you know, finding your perfect client. So one of the things that I learned is that, you know, a lot of marketing books and marketing people say, you know, define your demographics. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. But people don't buy based on their demographics. People buy based on what they value in their life. Mm-hmm. So you really have to be clear when you define what it is that you want to do. What values do you support? What values does your service support? So for example, when I had dinnerdelivery.net, the value that I support is that I made homemade food from scratch that was healthy. Everything was about time saving and making people feel healthy when they were done eating. Mm. And so then I asked myself, well, who are the people that value this type of people? And these are people that shop at, you know, like Whole Foods. These are people that go to the farmers markets. These are people that also value spending time outside and being with their family. Once I kind of define the values, then I put a layer of demographics over it saying, well, who are typically people that fall within this value range? And what I defined was these are people that lived along the coast in San Diego. These are people that typically had homes that were in this price range. And then I put a layer of demographics over it to define what areas that I was going to target my message.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how I started to find that my ultimate.
Absolutely. I mean, you said it perfect. You know, find something you love to do, something you're passionate about, overlay mm-hmm. your model, and then figure out what you could get paid for. And
exactly.
Step two is, I believe, as simple as that. And you said it perfectly. Find out where your people are. Where do they hang out? Where do they like to congregate? You said
it. And then when you do get a customer, the first few customers, I mean, tell them you want to set up 15, 20 minutes on a phone call with them. And really ask them how they felt about the service, the experience of being with you, how it fits into their lifestyle values. And they'll give you more clarification so quickly that all the guesswork that you need for your marketing is going to go, mm-hmm. is going to basically disappear, because your customers, your first few customers will give you so much information that you can't really put a price tag on it. So take the time to treat your customers. That's one thing I did. I treated my customers like they were owners in my business.
Love that.
And I told them that. I go, you're an owner in my business because I need your input. And I'm willing to waive, you know, the next few weeks of service for free just for your time and your input. And they always felt like they were part of my business, and they had no problems picking up the phone or emailing me their comments or suggestions on how to grow my business. And that's free information. People want to feel empowered. They want to feel like they're being heard. And when you give them that outlet in your business, they're going to grow your company for you.
Absolutely spot on. And for our listeners, that's really simple. There's three questions you can ask yourself. First is, what do you love to do? Gives you a really good outline. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, what are my skills or my experiences? And finally, what could I get paid for? And that will help you very easily to find who your perfect client is, which is number two. Number three, we overlaid the who, the what, and the why. And for us, that was really simple. We looked at, hey, who can I serve? You know, what is my perfect client? And we started with, that's number two. Number three, what problem does your perfect client face? You know, what is the problem you want to solve for them? And why is it important to them? So far as the who, the what, the why. What is your thought around that?
Well, you mean you're spot on. I mean, for example, like if you're whatever side hustle mm-hmm. you're going to start, I'm sure there's many other people doing the same thing. That's just the yep. reality. And does the world need another, let's say, does the world need another business doing what you're doing? Probably not. But what the world needs is a better story mm-hmm. so that people have a reason to go to you. Than over, you know, your competition. So you need to come up with not only is the problem you're solving, but how is your story going to solve that problem better than anybody else? And how is that experience you're going to give that customer going to be better than what your competition can be delivered? And it doesn't need to be this drastic change either. I mean, I quoted Brian Tracy a few episodes before, and it's because Brian Tracy was kind of like my gateway to business and personal development. But all he said is take what your competition is doing well and give it a 10% twist. That's it. That's all we're asking, is like small adjustments lead to more profitable and a better, healthy business. So just find out what your story, what your 10% story difference is, and then own it, represent it.
Absolutely love that. And that brings us to in number four, what is your superpower? And you just touched upon that. What makes me better than anybody else? What or how am I different than other people doing what you do? Because people buy from people which are like them. You know, you are a very good example of that. So, and then also, what is unique to them? And what is a unique characteristic that I have? What do people compliment me on? And we talk about this all the time. And then, you know, you need to overlay, and you said that, you know, earlier. Why should people trust you or me in that case to help them solve their problem?
Well, we've been there, we've done it. Plus we're cool dudes, man. I mean, every one of the mastermind are very, and you know, that's a big point because so you said superpower. I'm gonna go back to what I think one of my superpowers is that I'm engaging. I know how to communicate with people because I'm genuine and I love it. And I know how to put people at ease and I help people solve their own problems. And so that's what the mastermind group does, is that I've been drawn to your mastermind group that you started, you know, years ago, is because it's all like-minded people. So why should people come and trust us? Because it's not just you and I, there's a group of other people that are very similar that generally want to see other people succeed. Mm-hmm. And when other people succeed, then that means their local economy, their family becomes more successful. And it's that ripple effect. Then once they become more successful, then their community becomes more successful, then it just starts expanding. And really, we're in a state in the society where that's what we need, is people helping each other out and just widen that ripple effect out to where it just starts reaching. It just goes beyond borders. And so that's why they should come to us.
I mean, very true. And for us, you know, for me, I know, if you attract people which are your perfect client, you know, which is our number two point, it makes it so much easier to provide a great service to them. And they usually a lot more grateful for the service than wrong fit clients. And also when you do that right fit client, there's something I learned very late to overlay, is what are my non-negotiables? And the non-negotiables could be, hey, I only work 6 months and be 6 months off, or I want to do it just on the weekends, or I don't want to work on the weekends. So I also feel we need to get really clear on what your non-negotiables are, because they will help you define all of that. So we talked about, you know, making clear of what you want to do, how to find your perfect client, you know, what are you going to do? What is your offer? You know, which is comes next as point five. So when I'm really clear what I want to do, who do I want to do it for? What is my superpower? We need to overlay, what will you do? And we started out with that number one. So what is your offer? So how did you determine what your offer was as you started your first meal replacement business? And I think that's where a lot of the chefs trip up, because they're not really 100% sure, what is my irresistible offer? Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I wasn't selling food. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the first thing, is you got to look at, you're not selling food. That's just the delivery mechanism to what your offer is. And so once I really understood that, you know, it goes back to the whole, you know, features and benefits, you know, you draw the features in one and benefits in the other column, and you just match up your features to your benefits. I mean, that's a great exercise. Yeah, and everyone should not skip that, because you've got to be brilliant on the basics. Again, what Brian Tracy has said, I'm sure Tony Robbins said it as well. But once you kind of identify really what it is, your unique benefits, and then you, just start you can start doing a lot of research on, like, I started, well, first of all, when I started the meal replacement, there wasn't anyone else doing it, but it was actually the, my accountant's the one that said it, because he became my, one of my customers. And he told me, he's like, I don't buy your service because for the food, I can get food anywhere. So you're saving me a lot of time. I'm working 50, 60 hours a week. And I know that I'm saving time and I'm eating healthy. And then I'm like, why am I trying to figure out what my offer is? My customer just told me. And then I just brainstorm, because this is before AI, I just brainstorm on all the different ways that I can communicate savings and health.
Yeah.
And then I just tested many different offers to see what resonated. And finally, I came out with my tagline. It was healthy meals for time-starved families. Because I realized that families was my number one group, but it was healthy meals for time-starved families. And that resonated with my market.
I love that. I love that because it's so clear. People pay for speed and convenience.
Yep.
And if our listeners don't believe in it, where do you spend most of your time? You go to the dry cleaners. You know why? Because speed and convenience.
Exactly. You know?
You go to the grocery store. Speed and convenience is a lot better than growing it yourself and harvesting it, you know? Mm-hmm. So people pay for speed and convenience. And there's, in one of our meetings, you broke it down into three simple things. I will never forget it. You called it, what is your desire? So what is the desire of the problem you want to solve? And you talk about being unique, which was number two at the time. What is your uniqueness? What new idea, what new door, what new process, or what new foods or service can you bring to the table? And then number three was the solution. The solution usually is that people can do it on their own, but you are here to help them do it better, faster, and cheaper. And for me, I always loved that because I still remember as we spoke about this, you know, having the desire to do it, being unique in the way you do it, and find the solution to be it better, faster, cheaper. Therefore, people pay for two things. They pay for speed and convenience.
Exactly. Speed, convenience, and if it can also make them feel better about themselves too, then that's a huge motivator as well. Gives them a reason to keep coming back to you, because I mean, when you put together your business, you also want to try and figure out a way to keep people coming back so that you have that, you know, high, I had a very high retention rate because I always made, and there was an extra layer. I think I spoke about in one of my episodes is that where people felt like there was something more than just the taste of the food. Like they were feel like there was something giving them back, and they made them feel like they were appreciated. And that was because I had a video where I showed myself like kind of giving a blessing over and gratitude over all the meals that we just prepared for everybody. And my customers said they felt that. So if you can make them speed, convenience, savings of time, money, and then also feel like they're also fulfilling themselves too, then you've got a winning formula right there. And it's really that simple. It doesn't need to be complicated.
No, I absolutely love that.
And that comes from what you're saying, Chef, is like when you find something that gives you that juice in life, it's something that's a part of you and it makes you feel like you're living your full life value, then it comes naturally. You're not forcing it. It just comes naturally.
Absolutely spot on. And that kind of for us is in all essence, the idea of going from chef to entrepreneur. If you followed those simple steps we talked about, anybody can do it. And I know a lot of chefs have the desire to do it, and you don't need to be a chef. Anybody can do this. We're referring to chefs because we are chefs in our careers, but these principles work not just for chefs, they work for everybody. And there's one caveat we overlay, which is the final thing. There's so many people listening to podcasts like this, and hopefully they enjoy what they do. And if you enjoy what you do, is please like it and share it with a friend of yours. And if you haven't done so, please go to the disruptivechef.club community, sign up, and make sure you get a front row seat of all the new things we do. But the final caveat we overlay is don't become a listener and just educate yourself. You need to become a doer. And what Chef Lawrence and I are here for, to hold you accountable, because now where you know how to become or how you can get from chef to entrepreneur, now it's time to act. Now it's time to get on offense. And now it's time to build your dream. So what we encouraging you to do, or we asking you to do, what is your next 90-day plan? And there's nobody better in planning than Chef Lawrence. Why it's important, you feel, for them to have a 90-day plan and take it down from 1 to 30 day, 30 to 60, 60, 90. And, you know, be really clear on how they create the content, how they're going to, the ways of they want to serve. How did you do that? So talk to our listeners a little bit about why the taking action after hearing something really informative and something which can provide huge value to what you do.
Well, because as we said in the very beginning of this podcast, is like the micro wins build to big wins. And so it's so important to break it down to what you can do on a daily basis. I really don't even care how big it is, how big of an achievement it is. It's an achievement. And so once you've achieved it, then it just kind of builds on itself. So if you were to if you had a 90 day plan and you're like, okay, I need to, how much of this 90 day plan can I achieve on day one? It can be very overwhelming. And then all of a sudden you just walk away and don't do anything. And I think that's what a lot of people experience. Just pick one small thing. I'll give you a real quick example. So yeah. as we said in one of the podcasts, is that I coach baseball. And so my youngest son is playing a game today, and he said that he wants to be a D1 player, which is one of the highest levels that the colleges look at. So I asked him this morning, I go, what is one small thing you can do in today's game that makes you become that much closer to becoming a D1 player? Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, when I have a runner on third or second, I'm going to look and purposely hit the ball in the area that it needs to be in so that the runner can move to the next base. I go, perfect. If you can do that, then you just became one step closer today to becoming a D1 player. And then in the next game, you say, all right, I'm going to do that again. Plus, I'm going to add one other small thing to it, maybe with your base running or with your defense. So mm-hmm. It's just when you do one small thing, you're going to want to do it again, because everyone loves the feeling of success. Everyone loves to feel achievement.
That's a really good analogy. Yeah. And for me, I'm a planner. I find if you do a plan, and the reason I like to break it down into 1 to 30, 30 to 60 to 90, it gives me really good idea of what do I need to accomplish. And there is a good feeling on checking, first of all, things off, and also being really clear. This is where I am day 1 to 30, which mm-hmm. allows me to kind of come back and say, I need to step it up. I'm a little bit behind, or I'm a little bit ahead. Let me refine something. And it also will outline, you know, if you are falling behind, is who can I reach out to? And that's our final message for all of this. Mm-hmm. You don't need to do it on your own. You're not out there by yourself. Because if there's something you're super passionate about, it, share it with somebody. Not just share it with somebody. Find somebody who will keep you accountable. Mm-hmm. And somebody who is not just keeping you accountable, somebody who keeps you on track. And for us, we using our mastermind group as that. Because within our mastermind group, we all make commitments. And we all hold each other accountable. And if there's an excess, it's not a success on our own. It's a success of the group.
Exactly.
And over the years, maybe I let you take your point of view of how that mastermind has helped people. By the way, we built, I believe, 18 businesses out of that mm-hmm. mastermind group in the last 4 years. I was able to scale my business. I was able to make a bigger impact because of the group. Because for me, I had to learn some new skills. Mm-hmm. And if you have somebody who holds you accountable, it makes it also really clear, what are some of the new things I need to learn, not just who I need to learn. Sometimes it's who do I reach out to? And mm-hmm. we call it who, not the how. Because sometimes we always get stuck in, I need to learn how, I need to do it. And it takes you, I use my very first book I wrote on my own. I wrote 14 books with a traditional publisher. I wanted to write my own book and I wanted to do it self-published. And at the time, self-publishing wasn't as sexy as it is today. And I had the book done for a long time. I was editing it. Every time I uploaded, it came back that the margins was off. And it said, you need to be 0.125% over. And I was like, what the F does 1.5? I changed it for 6 months. My wife said, you do it 2 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing? I'm editing. She says, just ask somebody for help. No, I'm that close. I know I'm that close. You know, 3 years later, 6 o'clock in the morning, what are you doing up all night? I'm editing. She says, that's it. We need to hire somebody. I had a phone call with somebody, cost me $250 for an hour. And I asked him one question. Why the fuck is my thing not working? He said, oh, it's really simple. It's a 0.125 oval. I was like, I know that. What the hell is it? He says, oh, it's really easy because if you have selected bleed on your picture, you need to be 0.12 over so the picture doesn't cut off at the end of the page. Okay, what the hell does that mean? He says, oh, it's really easy. Let me show you. You know, 15 seconds later, I was like, oh, shit, I spent 3 years. So, and it's so, isn't that so true?
Yeah.
We want to move from the how to who. So we call it, you know, we need to get to who, not to the how. Because mm-hmm. we can all learn how to do it, and it could take you 3 years like me. You know, wasted 3 years of my life, you know, being frustrated because I couldn't edit it. And if you ask my wife, she laughs. She says, oh my God, you have spent hours and hours on it, you know? And I found the who, and that person was able to do it for me in less than 15 minutes. Okay, 3 years, 15 minutes. I should have paid the $250 right in the beginning, you know? And so for us, and I use that as an example because we as chefs are so stuck in the how. We know I gotta do it. I need to prove to myself that I need to do it. Yep. No, it's okay to raise your hand and say, hey, I need help. And people have experiences and they have skills they very gladly share, and they can do it much faster, much cheaper, in a much shorter time period than doing it by yourself. So therefore, our very last message for you today is make sure you find the who. Don't worry about the how, because the how.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you're a person that ever went to YouTube to try and figure out how to do something, then you need to join our mastermind group because you're already looking for some sort of answer. So come to a group where in live experience, where people are giving you real time feedback and they're there to support you. So, I mean, what do you got to lose when it's free for the next, you know, for the next 2 months? I mean,
I love that group because it's a group of doers. It's not a group of, hey, we're gonna, you know, just beat up on each other. That's absolutely not true.
No.
And I never felt more support from the group. And I think it's my most favorite group I'm part of. And if there's a success, everybody celebrates. And if somebody falls behind, people are willing to go out of their way to make sure we bring them up to the level that they need to be. And I think we all need somebody who sees in us what we don't see in ourselves. And we talked about this on episode one. And it's really important to have somebody who holds you accountable. And you can only do it if you're honest from the beginning, if you share really honestly with them, and if you're open to feedback. And for us chefs, you know, I always compare us to the military. You know, we show no fear. We do it all by ourselves. We don't ask for help. You know, it's a whole military model, and it doesn't need to be that way.
Yep, I agree. That's very well put. I never thought about that from a military. Well, I mean, you look at the hierarchy of how they rank chefs in a kitchen is very militaristic. So,
And listen, the kitchens we built, we currently work in, or invented by the military. You know, maybe needs to be some innovation, but there's another thing to disrupt. But for now, I want to say thank you for listening in. Thank you, Chef Lawrence, for giving so freely of your time and your expertise and insight. So if anybody found what you said valuable, how can they get a hold of you and how can they learn more about you?
Yeah, you can, three ways. You can find me on LinkedIn at Lawrence Martineau. You can also email me at lawrencejmartineau@gmail.com, or you can just go to Lawrence Martineau on Instagram. But I'm here to also, if you have any questions or need any support, or have questions about the mastermind group, please reach out to me. That's what we're here for. We're not just saying this as a sales pitch. It is generally how we are as people. So please reach out.
Yeah. I absolutely love that. And with that, I want to say thank you for listening into our special episode, How to Get from Chef to Entrepreneur. So until next time, remember to disrupt your kitchen, fire up your career, stay hungry for change. I'm Christian with my co-host, Chef Lawrence, via the Disruptive Chef Entrepreneur host. We are signing off. For that, I want to say, be the change, be the challenge, and be the chef who sets the world on fire. Chef Lawrence, thanks for your time, and we see you at the next show.